So hello, everyone. Welcome to the Partners for Progressive Israel Conversations with Israel and Palestine. Today we are speaking with Waleed Salem, a professor and longtime activist. My name is Adam, and I'm the Director of Operations and Outreach of Partners for Progressive Israel. First, a few technical matters. All callers will be muted while Waleed is speaking. When we open the call to questions, you will be able to address Waleed by unmuting yourself. To unmute your call, you'll need to press star 6 in order for us to hear you. But please remember to press star 6 again once you've finished asking your question in order to remute your call. This will help us cut down on background noise. Waleed Salem is a lecturer on democracy and human rights at Al-Quds University and director of Panorama, the Palestinian Center for the Dissemination of Democracy and Community Development in East Jerusalem. He's the author of numerous texts about the conflict and has written extensively on democracy, civil society, citizenship, refugees, and the status of Jerusalem. Waleed was a member in the Palestinian National Council of the PLO and has been the coordinator of Middle East Citizen Assembly, a regional network of experts and activists on citizenship issues that includes participants from 19 countries from the region. He has lectured at several international conferences and seminars about democracy, Jerusalem, refugees, and development in Palestine. So Waleed, please begin.
Thank you very much, except I am not Panorama. Development in East Jerusalem. So in any way, I thank you very much for the invitation. I was asked by Adam to speak about the Arab Peace Initiative and the comprehensive Middle Eastern peace and security. Now, I don't know how much the people there are familiar with the Arab Peace Initiative, but let me say in brief, the Arab Peace Initiative was launched on the Arab Summit in Beirut, Lebanon in 2002, and the Arab Peace Initiative is simply a call for Israel to withdraw from the Arab-occupied territories in 1967 and to provide with just solution to the Palestinian refugee problem that is agreed upon with Israel, and I confirm here, I stress here on the wording of that is agreed upon with Israel in accordance to with Resolution 194. And if Israel withdraw and provide with just solution to the Palestinian refugee problem agreed upon with Israel, then the Arabs will have normal relations with Israel. So this is the simply the resolution. That resolution also include another important angle, which is in the Article 3A of the Arab Peace Initiative, calling for providing with security for all the states of the region, which means that security is for all, and security comes also through peace. If we have comprehensive peace, then with the idea we will be getting to a situation of having security and stability for all the states and the peoples of the region. This is actually the Arab Peace Initiative in scratch. That Arab Peace Initiative was approved by all the 22 Arab countries in the Beirut Summit in 2002. Then by May 2003, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, as it is called today, approved it on its summit that was held in Tehran, in Iran, in May 2003. Therefore, by then, the Arab Peace Initiative became an initiative of all the Islamic countries, which are 57 countries, inclusive to the Arab countries, which means that the offer for normal relations with Israel is not only an offer made on the name of the 22 Arab countries, but more further than that, it is an offer by the 57 Islamic countries. if Israel withdraw from the territories occupied in 1967, then all the Islamic countries, the 57 of them, will have normal relations with Israel. To be accurate, at that meeting in Tehran, all the 56 out of the 57 countries accepted the Arab peace initiative. One country made reservation. This country did not say no to the Arab peace initiative. It made only reservation on it. That was Iran itself, where the conference was held. But they made. But it is significant that Iran made reservation and did not say that we reject the Arab peace initiative. Now, based on all of that, the Arab peace initiative has two main components and has three mechanisms. The two components are, first, the offer of comprehensive normal relations with Israel based on comprehensive peace. So this is the first component. The second component is security for all the states of the region. Now, besides these two components, the Arab Peace Initiative created three main mechanisms for the follow-up of the Arab Peace Initiative. The first mechanism was that the Arab League asked Jordan and Egypt to communicate the Arab Peace Initiative regularly with Israel. The second mechanism is the Arab Peace Initiative Follow-up Committee, which was composed by the Arab League, is in charge of communicating the Arab Peace Initiative with the international community. And the third mechanism is the mechanism of elevating Palestine in the UN, which is a mechanism that was added in the last Arab summit that was held in the last March in Cairo. Now, how these three mechanisms worked out so far? In regard to the first mechanism, which is Jordan and Egypt to communicate the Arab Peace Initiative with Israel, already Jordan and Egypt made a lot of work on this regard. Just I'll mention some examples. In 2007, ministers of foreign affairs of Jordan and Egypt, Abdelilah Al-Khatib and Ahmed Abu Al-Ghait, they came to Israel to communicate and to discuss the Arab Peace Initiative with the Israeli politicians and the Israeli members of Knesset. Other example, in 2010, the King Abdullah of Jordan sent the Arab Peace Initiative in letters to all the 120 Knesset members. Each one of them, the Knesset members, received envelopes that include the Arab Peace Initiative and explanation of what does it mean. In regard to the other mechanism, which is the Arab Peace Initiative follow-up committee, which is in charge of communicating the Arab Peace Initiative with the international community, they were able, through their communication with the international community, to include the Arab Peace Initiative in the roadmap for peace, which was released by the Quartet in 2003. And then they were able to include it on the UN Security Council resolutions 1850 and 1860 for the years 2008 and 2009. Then, of course, we saw later on that the Arab Peace Initiative became a main component on all the documents and release and statements made by the Quartet for Middle Eastern Peace. Also, all the statements made by the European Union and so on and so forth. So it became, I will say, it became an international plan. So it started as an Arab plan, then it became an Islamic countries plan, but since it's included in UN Security Council resolutions, it became also an internationally adopted plan. Therefore, all of these ideas that the Arabs might take it from the table, they cannot anymore take it from the table, even if they want, and they don't want, actually. It was the significance of the Arab Peace Initiative that it continued to be on the table all the time, and the Arabs, even if they want to take it from the table, they will not be able to take it because it's already included in UN Security Council resolutions, as I mentioned. Now, regarding the Arabs, the significance of the Arab Peace Initiative from the Arab side, it has the following significance. One, it continued to be there despite all the turmoils and the influx in the region. So, for instance, I'll just mention an example. The previous regime of Muammar Gaddafi of Libya made reservations on it, but the new regime in Libya that succeeded Muammar Gaddafi accepted it. The new regime in Iraq accepted it. The new regime in Tunisia, Egypt, they accepted it. So it steadfast regardless of all the changes in the region, and still the Arab countries are supporting it. This is the first important significance of it. The second significance of the Arab Peace Initiative is that it's not the initiative of the moderate Arab countries against the extremists. It is an initiative that represents the consensus of the Arabs. So all the Arab countries, regardless of being called moderate or extremist, all of them are standing behind the Arab Peace Initiative. So it expresses the Arab consensus. Therefore, the idea of to use it as a vehicle or a bridge or a tool in order to create coalition with the Arab moderate countries against the extremists cannot work because the significance of it, that it is expresses an Arab significance. I'll come now to the third mechanism of the Arab Peace Initiative, which is the Committee to Elevate Palestine in the UN. Actually, after 13 years of the Arab Peace Initiative being on the table by the Arabs, and the Arabs keep emphasizing on it once and again in each Arab summit since, in the annual summits of the Arab League, and at the same time finding out that there are no Israeli positive response to it, this moved the Arabs to think about the idea that in order to push Israel forward to accept the API, the offer of the Arab Peace Initiative, not to accept it as it is, but to accept the offer of the Arab Peace Initiative. In order to push Israel to accept the offer of the Arab Peace Initiative, Palestine should be elevated to symmetrical position, diplomatically speaking, at least with Israel. Therefore, the idea came of creating this committee to elevate Palestine in the UN, not in order to create full symmetry. This is impossible to create full symmetry between Palestinians and Israelis. Occupation is still there. But the idea is to create diplomatic symmetry by having Palestine as a recognized state by the UN and have membership in the UN. And by that way also protect the two-state solution, which is also under attack by the Israeli right-wing government and by the settlement expansion going on in the Palestinian territory. So the Arabs decided to take this noble task of keeping the two-state solution alive by elevating Palestine, by having an initiative to elevate Palestine in the UN. The new committee to elevate Palestine in the UN is composed by Egypt, Jordan, Morocco, Palestine, and the General Secretary of the Arab League. Now, this committee is working hard. They already prepared a draft UN Security Council resolution. They are meeting together with the Arab Peace Initiative Follow-up Committee on the 5th of August in the coming few days in Cairo to discuss the draft, and they will present it to the UN Security Council later on. We will not know how much it will be merged with the French proposal on the UN Security Council, but we know already what the process that will take over. Maybe there will be merger between the two initiatives, the French and the Arab. May not, we don't know. We have to wait and to see in this regard. Now, the other point that I want to emphasize is that when it comes to the what has to do with the question of what the Arabs are expecting from Israel regarding the Arab Peace Initiative. Regarding this question, some Israeli right-wing activists, some say this initiative is an imposition. The Arabs are telling us, take it or leave it. No. It is not take it or leave it. What the Arab are expecting from Israel It's not that the Israeli government come and say, we accept the Arab initiative. This is not what the Arabs want Israel to do. What the Arabs want Israel to do is to say that we accept the Arab Peace Initiative as a point of departure for negotiations. Therefore, it's not the idea of accepting it, but full stop, but it's about accepting it as a point of departure of negotiations. Say yes to it, then go to negotiations. This is what the Arabs want from Israel. This is one point. Beside this point, there are some Israelis who come and say that the Arab Peace Initiative is calling for the return of refugees to inside Israel. But as I emphasized before, the Arab Peace Initiative said agreed upon solution on the refugee issue with Israel. So in one hand, they are saying agreed upon solution in accordance to with the UN Resolution 194, but at the same time they said agreed upon solution with Israel. Now, mentioning 194 is not that problematic, because what we know from, let me just mention the example of Taba negotiations that took place between the Palestinians and Israelis in Taba, which is an Egyptian area, in the beginning of 2001. On those negotiations, Yossi Beilin and Shlomo Ben Ami versus Dr. Nabil Shaaf, the Palestinian negotiator, they said, okay, we consider 194 resolution to be the framework for the discussion, but now we should agree upon the implementation, how the implementation of 194 come on. And they start discussing the five options that you might know, which is President Clinton previously presented, which is the return to the Palestinian state, or return to the swabbed areas with Israel. Third, return to inside Israel subject to Israeli approval to the number and the criteria. This is very important, Israel approval of the number and the criteria, or stay wherever they are, or go to a third country. So the idea is not about, the idea is that 194 allow the parties, when they go to negotiations, allow them to negotiate the framework and the way to implement 194. And this was the discussion that took place on 2001 in Taba about the resolution 194. Let me, so these are some of the misunderstandings, I will say, and misconceptions of the Arab Peace Initiative. In order to leave some time for discussion, let me end with the following theme. The Arab Peace Initiative is more significant today, mainly after the failure of the bilateral negotiations between the Palestinians and the Israelis. The Arab Peace Initiative became today as the only game on town that carry a possibility to move the Israeli-Palestinian track forward. As we see, despite the fact that the Arab Peace Initiative speaks about comprehensive peace, but at the same time we know that it is impossible now to move the Syrian-Israeli peace forward. The Lebanese-Israeli peace, to move it forward, it's also very difficult. But still there is a possibility to use the Arab Peace Initiative as a point of departure and the framework to move the Israeli-Palestinian track forward. Therefore, the message here is as follows. When Israel free settlement expansion, for instance, before the negotiations, they should know now that the offer in the trade-off is that they will get normal relations with Arab countries. It's not only that the Palestinians will come to the negotiations. So we are, by bringing the Arab Peace Initiative as a framework for the negotiations, we are expanding the pie. We are bringing the pie is becoming bigger, and the offer is becoming bigger, and maybe Israel can take a minute and think about that it should be able to make some kind of flexibility, to make flexibility in its positions, to accept the freeze of settlement expansion, not to stress on the idea of recognizing Israel as a Jewish state, all of these conditions and preconditions that Israel has, and to fulfill its Israel obligations according to the roadmap, including settlement freeze and dismantling the settlement outpost, then with the based on that, to go to negotiations with a good spirit that will lead to a solution based on the Arab Peace Initiative. Finally on this, the Arab Peace Initiative cannot help also on the expanding the pie, but further than that, it can help by providing the with the support of the Arab countries, mainly those two who has diplomatic relations with Israel, which is Egypt and Jordan, to bring their services on in order to help the two sides to move forward. This is also another thing to think about, and through thinking of it, try to create what we call bilateral / regional process. So it will be not bilateral process, but it also bilateral process that is supported by a regional one, and the two processes will converge in one process that can and that will create concerted effort towards Palestinian and Israeli peace. But the address to do that to answer these kind of questions and to move the process forward is in the hands of Netanyahu. He's the person who should make the decision, and his government. And we still hopeful that he will do it regardless of all the odds that we are facing. So let me stop here, and I will be more happy than to receive your questions and feedback.
Great. So we'll now have a question and answer period. Just to reiterate, if you have a question, you'll need to press *6 to unmute your call. But then right after you ask your question, please press *6 again to cut back on background noise. We also ask that you please refrain from entering into a debate with Waleed or asking follow-up questions so that everyone has an opportunity to ask. So any questions, just press *6.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for speaking today. I was just wondering if you could repeat the first two mechanisms. My phone kind of cut out.
Yeah. The first mechanism is Jordan and Egypt were delegated by the Arab League the responsibility of communicating the Arab Peace Initiative with Israel. The second mechanism is the Arab Peace Initiative Follow-Up Committee, which was responsible for, and is still, of course, responsible for communicating the Arab Peace Initiative with the international community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In Brooklyn, New York, I have the following question. Thanks a lot for your presentation, first of all. In terms of getting Israel to accept the API as the basis for negotiation, what kind of pressure do you think could be exerted in order to get Israel to accept the API as the basis? There's clearly pressure that can be effective and pressure that can be counterproductive, and I would like you to address that question, and where should the pressure come from? Is it coming today?
Yeah.
Is it happening today? How can it be generated? And what other nations besides the 22 Arab nations should play a role in this?
Yeah, thank you very much. This is a very important question. And I will allude to the kind of pressures that can be made by the Arab countries based on the content of the Arab Peace Initiative itself. Now, from the Arab point of view, the Arab Peace Initiative is an offer of normalization. But at the same time, this offer of creating normal relations with Israel is a carrot, and on the other hand, it is a stick. It is a carrot, which means it is an offer that in case Israel withdraw, the Arabs will provide, will implement this offer. But as much as Israel abstain from withdrawing from the occupied territories of 1967, the Arabs will continue to use the stick, which is abstaining of creating normal relations with Israel. So far, Israel has the stick rather than having the carrot, because it's Israel is abstaining to withdraw. Further than that, we can see that because that during the period of progress on the peace process in 1990s, there was in Tel Aviv at that time, there was three Arab embassies, Jordan, Egypt, and Mauritania, that, you know, maybe we I should remind us of Mauritania, who has also normal relations with Israel. At the same time, there were diplomatic offices in Tel Aviv of Oman, the Arab country of Oman, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Tunisia, and Morocco. In other words, three Arab countries in 1990s were having full normal relations with Israel, and another five Arab countries have some kind of diplomatic offices that are less than embassies in Tel Aviv. Because the setback in the peace process, we found out that Mauritania closed its embassy in Tel Aviv, and the five Arab countries who have diplomatic relations less than embassies in Tel Aviv, they closed them, so they are not there anymore by any means. So Israel, I would say, lost in this regard the relationship between the Arab countries. What I am stating here is the following, that some Arab countries will not wait the full Israeli withdrawal from the occupied territories in order to have normal relations with Israel. In the opposite, the experience of 1990s tells that in case that Israel move forward in the peace process, those Arab countries who have diplomatic offices that are less than embassies in Tel Aviv during the 1990s will reopen them. So I am talking here in the language of carrot and stick at the same time. So the carrot is, Israel is losing more and more the carrot, and they are getting more and more the stick when it comes to diplomatic relations. Other component of Arab pressure has to do with economic boycotts. You know, during the 1990s, we remember there was the multilateral groups for Middle Eastern peace that include programs for economic development. We know at that time, people started creating a big imaginations about Middle East that is economically prosperous. Shimon Peres wrote a book about the new Middle East. Through the multilateral working groups, there were a lot of ideas about linking electricity for all the Middle East region, trains that will go from Cairo to Tel Aviv through the region, Economic Development Bank, and many, many other ideas, and connecting the electricity and the energy, cooperation between the countries in water, and what have you. All of these, none of these ideas that will make the Middle East prosperous and open, unlike in New Europe, I will say, with open borders between its countries, all of these ideas, none of these ideas were implemented because of the absence of peace. So what I am saying, that also another tool of pressure in Israel is the absence of readiness from the Arab side to have economic normal relations with Israel in the absence of peace. Let me mention that is the Strategic Foresight, which is an Indian think tank, study showed that the conflicts in the Middle East led the country to lose $12 trillion so far. So let us imagine if the conflict ends, what will happen to the region? This should be also an incentive to Israel to think about. So I am saying that the Arabs have the tool of boycott, economic boycott to Israel, and also the tool of diplomatic boycott till Israel withdraw. These are the kind of tools that the Arab using. Finally, on that, during the last 10 years, the Arabs lifted the boycott, what they call the boycott of second degree to Israel, which is the boycott of companies who has indirect economic relations with Israel. This is still going on. So the Arabs are still also are not making pressure in one hand, but in second hand also they are still bringing incentives that they already lifted the economic boycott from the second degree towards the companies who has indirect relations with Israeli companies. So the Arabs are also providing with incentives, not only with the pressure. So I hope that I answered your question.
Thank you.
Hello. I have a question. This is Morty Miller, and thank you very much for your clear and thorough presentation. My question has to do with the just resolution of the refugee issue. And my question is this: has the following been discussed at all within the group of 57 countries that, you know, with one somewhat reservation, but have accepted the Arab Peace Initiative? Has there been discussion, in addition to whatever Israel and Palestine might agree on regarding, you know, possibly return to the border, within the borders of the state of Israel, based on humanitarian or whatever considerations might be negotiated bilaterally, in addition, you know, potentially to financial compensation in some fashion, has there been any discussion about normalizing the citizenship of Palestinians in refugee camps in other countries, so that their status, in addition to what, you know, whatever, and not as a replacement for the other parts of the negotiations on this issue, has there been any discussion of the possibility of normalizing the citizenship of Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, in Jordan, in wherever the countries they are now refugees?
Yeah, thank you very much. This is a very important question. I will try my best to be brief responding to it, because it includes a lot of details. But in the same focused way of answering, I would say that let me start with the status of refugees in Palestinian refugees in the Arab countries. You know, if we take the examples of Jordan, the Palestinian refugees, most of Palestinian refugees exist in Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. And here is, in brief, the status of Palestinian refugees in these three countries. Regarding Jordan, you know, the Palestinian refugees in Jordan, most of them are 1967 displaced persons. And since the West Bank before 1967 was part of Jordan, therefore they continued after 1967 to have Jordanian passports. So Jordan deal with them the same way that it deals with any other Jordanian citizen, because they came from West Bank, which was already in the period from 1948 to 1997 under Jordanian ruling. Only in Jordan there are 200,000 Gazans from Gaza, which was not under Jordanian control in the period of 1948 to 1967, and these people live in Jordan with the travel documents, so they do not have Jordanian citizenship like the 1967 displaced persons of West Bank. This is Jordan. If I move to Syria, the Palestinian refugees in Syria, the Syrian government gave them all the civil and the human rights like any other Syrian, but the Syrian government abstained from giving them Syrian citizenship because this is contradictory to their right of return. So this was the situation in Syria. Regarding Lebanon, the situation is more complicated in Lebanon. The because of the demographic structure in Lebanon and the structure of the political system there, Lebanon abstained from providing Lebanese refugees either with citizenship or with human and civil rights. So in Lebanon, they do not enjoy both. They do not enjoy the citizenship rights, and they do not enjoy the civil and human rights because of the structure of the Lebanese political system. So this is about the status of Palestinian refugees in the main three countries of their refuge Now, regarding the issue of how to solve it, the Arab Peace Initiative has two articles about refugees. One of them that I mentioned in my presentation agreed upon a solution to the refugee problem in accordance to 194, Resolution 194. And the second is rejection of settlement of refugees in the host countries, which is the rejection of tawteen. The word in Arabic is tawteen, which means resettlement. So in one hand, the Arab Peace Initiative rejects the resettlement of refugees in the host countries. And this article was provided because Lebanon and Jordan asked for it, because both of them, they do not want the refugees to be settled in their countries in the long run, because this might change the demographies of these countries. So they asked for this article. But in other hand, this article, which is against resettlement, is not contradictory with the article of the agreed-upon solution that I just mentioned. So, okay, Jordan and Lebanon do not want the refugees to be resettled in Lebanon. But still, there should be some kind of negotiations. Now, agreed-upon solution. Now, the idea of agreed-upon solution means that the Arab countries lift the issue, or the Arab Peace Initiative left the issue to be negotiated between the Palestinians and the Israelis. In other words, the Arab League made this offer of normal relations, but they kept negotiations to the bilateral Israeli-Palestinian track. Now, based on the failure of the Palestinian-Israeli track, now there are a lot of ideas of bringing Jordan and Egypt in order to try to help solving all the issues, including trying to help the refugee issue in the coming negotiations that will be bilateral and regional in the same time as I mentioned. So the idea now, and this is not going in contradiction with the spirit of the Arab Peace Initiative. The Arab Peace Initiative says that Jordan and Egypt are in charge of communicating it with Israel. Therefore, it is legitimate to ask Jordan and Egypt to help finding solution to this problem. Now, when finding solution to this problem, you have three options, and I will end with them. One option is to resettle, to say that Palestinian refugees should be resettled outside of Palestine. And already I mentioned the complexities about the solution, mainly when it comes to Jordan and Lebanon, who disagree with that because it influences their demographies. And also, it's against the individual right of refugees themselves, that they have the right to decide if they want to go back to their country or they want to be resettled. So you cannot impose it on them. So this solution is problematic. The second solution is to say right of return to inside Israel, full right of return to inside Israel. This is also not fair because there are already, Israel is there, the Palestinians should be realistic. So we should not choose any one of these extremes, which is full resettlement or full return, and try to find a solution in the middle. And this solution in the middle was actually presented, we do not need to invent the wheel in this regard. This solution in the middle were already presented by President Clinton in his five options that I mentioned in my presentation. And they were also the part of the basis of the discussion in Taba negotiations. And if you look to these five options, they are not really all options. The options among them are only two: return to the Palestinian state and return to the swapped areas with Israel. These are options. But the others, return to Israel, it's not an option because it's subject to Israeli approval to the criteria and the number. Stay in the next one, stay wherever they are. It's also subject to the approval of the countries that they will stay in for the criteria and the number. Go to a third country, this is the last option. It's also subject to the approval of the third countries to the number and the criteria. So out of these five options, the Palestinians has only two, which is return to the Palestinian state or the swapped area, which they are together. One option is the return to the Palestinian state. The others are not really options. They are subject to the sovereign decisions of the state that they will go to. Hello?
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question. My name is Jerry, and I live in Walnut Creek, California. Some of your wording was kind of chopped up. I didn't understand everything. But can you discuss Israel's security concerns, given the fact that there probably will always exist an extreme, I might say always in the foreseeable future, extreme Palestinian militant factions? Could you please tell me, what is your opinion as a reasonable solution to Israel's security concerns if we moved on this Arab peace initiative?
Thank you for your question. This is also another important question. As I said, the Arab peace initiative has Article 3A of it, which states that that security should be guaranteed for all the states of the region. This article means that the Arabs are ready to guarantee the security of Israel and to provide Israel with security guaranteed by all the Arab countries in case that Israel would withdraw from all the Palestinian and Arab territories occupied in 1967. So the Arabs are making an offer also to provide Israel with security guaranteed by the 20 Arab countries. At the same time, reciprocally, they ask Israel also to provide the Arab countries with security. So it will not be from one side. It should be reciprocal. In one hand, the Arab provide Israel with security, and in other hand, Israel should not attack the security of the Arab countries, in other hand. The significance of this article of the Arab Peace Initiative is that the given, you know, the failure of the bilateral Palestinian-Israeli negotiations, we know that the Palestinians, being the weaker side in the conflict, cannot by themselves alone, Palestinians cannot alone provide Israel with security, but Arabs together can provide Israel with security. So here is also another added value to the Arab peace initiative than the just bilateral Palestinian-Israeli negotiations, that the Arabs can offer Israel and can provide Israel with security that the Palestinians cannot deliver to Israel being alone. At the same time, I should emphasize again that at the same time that the Arabs should provide Israel with security, also Israel should provide the Arabs with the security. So it is a reciprocal process, I will say.
I think we have time for one more question. Is there another question?
This is Frank Bamberger again.
Clearly,
the Palestinians, both inside the West Bank in Israel, the diaspora, are not unanimously supporting the API as the way forward. Many are searching for a one-state solution. The API, would be strengthened if there was more support among Palestinians for the API. How do you deal with that, and do you Do you feel hopeful that there will be more support for the API among Palestinians, including the Palestinian diaspora?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, this idea of Palestinians supportive to one-state solution, look what's going on now with the continuation and the escalation of the conflict. I was talking the other day with my colleagues, Professor Yifat Ma'oz and Professor Khalil Shikaki. He's a Palestinian, she's an Israeli, who do joint public opinion polls for the Israeli public opinion and the Palestinian public opinion together. Both of them told me that in the, at least I saw Yifat Ma'oz, she told me that it is for the first time ever that in the latest polls, both of them found out that there is a lower number, less than 50% of support to the two-state solutions, to the two-state solution from the both publics, the Israelis and the Palestinians. So now, in other words, there are now, because of the conflict is not solved and it is taking longer and longer time to be solved, the positions of the public opinions in both societies are going in the directions, unfortunately, against the two-state solutions, lower than 50% in both societies, Israel and Palestine. Now, the result of this, setback in the positions of the public opinions regarding the two-state solutions, the results of it from the Israeli side is the increase of power of those powers in Israel who call for annexation of Area C of West Bank, which represents 64% of West Bank. So it is two-thirds of West Bank. Now we see that the Habayit HaYehudi and parts of the Likud, the extreme right group inside the Likud, both of them are calling for annexation of Area C, 64% of West Bank or bigger parts of it, which means an Israeli one-state solution that includes the current Israel in addition to two-thirds of West Bank and also East Jerusalem. To these 64%, I should add also East Jerusalem that they want annex. So unfortunately, what we are witnessing in the ground is the creation of one-state solution by Israel by expanding the Israeli territory to include East Jerusalem and to include Area C, 64% of West Bank. In mirror image to that, the dwindling support to the two-state solution among the Palestinians leads the people to think, okay, let us look for one-state solution. But the result for that will be that instead of calling for Israeli withdrawal from the territory, we might start looking for equal human rights with Israelis in the same country. So you see that the situation is asymmetric. On one hand, those who call for one-state solution from the Israeli side are creeping settlement expansion and creeping de facto annexation that's still not de jure annexation, but it might become de jure annexation in the coming future, while those Palestinians who lost faith in the two-state solutions see the other possibility is the start non-violent struggle for civil rights as equal citizens to Israelis in one state in all the historical land of Israel, Palestine. So this is what's going on, unfortunately, in the ground. But still, behind of that, the optimistic note that the Arab Peace Initiative is still the only game on town that has the capability to keep the two-state solution alive. And this is the reason that the Arab Summit in Cairo, the last one, created this committee to elevate Palestine in the UN. It is about elevating Palestine. That is its borders is 1967 borders, and a state that will live in peace and security with Israel. This is what the Arabs are. doing, and I think they should be supported on this effort that they are doing in order to keep the two-state solution alive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Last question. Is there another question? Okay, Waleed, thank you so much. It was excellent.
Thank you very much. You will send me a summary or something, Adam?
I'll send you a recording as well for you to send to your email list. So thanks, everyone, for tuning
in. Thank you, indeed.
And we'll send you the recording.
Thank you, indeed. Thank you very much. And regards to all there. Bye-bye.